Welcome to the 5 Series, a series for teens and college students with the objective of reflecting over the 5 pillars of Islam in a really beautiful and concise manner and answering questions that we all have about our faith. To continue efforts like this, visit rootsdfw.org/sustainyouth and help us create more content just like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us.
Bismillah walhamdulillah, as-salatu was-salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to our finale of the prayer series. This finale, inshallah, is going to be focusing in on the idea of togetherness during your salah. We have had the pleasure, first and foremost, I want to say how much of an honor it has been to go through this journey of the prayer series with everybody over the past month. Prayer, as we know, as we've learned over the past month, is what makes a Muslim a Muslim. That La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is what you have internally, but your external journey as a believer starts with your salah. If our salah is not intact, the rest of our deeds will not be intact. We also learn that the prayer is going to be the first thing that Allah Azza wa Jal is going to be asking us about on the Day of Judgment. You know, there are many forms of goodness in this world. There are forms of goodness through charity. There are forms of goodness through generosity. There are forms of goodness through time and energy. But out of all of those things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite wisdom has ordained it upon us that the first thing that we will be asked about on the Day of Judgment, Yawm al-Qiyamah, is actually going to be our salah. And the salah is something that I think is extremely, extremely precious. It's extremely valuable. It's something that I think that is extremely important for us to all think about. I believe I went offline, right? I'm going to check, inshallah. Let me see for our Instagram followers. Let's see what happened here. I think we may have gone offline possibly, but let's try it out here. Bismillah. Round two. So sorry, guys. For the Instagram people, I apologize. I think the internet went out or something weird happened. But what we were talking about, alhamdulillah, is this idea of this journey of prayer, of salah. And because we've been able to go on this journey called prayer, this journey of learning about the salah, we have really understood the blessing and the really the true gift that it actually is in our lives. And so today we're going to sweetly almost tie a bow on top of our journey of the salah series with something I like to call those who pray together, stay together. This is a term that I've used and actually like our mentors have used for us when we were younger. It's something that really defines the idea of prayer and the blessings that it actually presents a believer. That indeed those who pray together have this tie in their life that is much deeper than any other relationship anybody could have. There's almost this saying that faith is thicker than blood even. That faith puts you with somebody in a certain extent, to a certain extent, that even blood doesn't do so for a person. And that is the beauty of the tie of salah. And so today what we're going to be talking about, inshallah, is the idea of congregating for your prayer. What does it mean to pray together as a group of people? So without further ado, the first thing I'm going to ask everyone to think about, to kind of put yourself in the framework of salah, is the idea of what kind of feeling do you get when you pray in congregation? I want to ask that to everybody here. So I'm actually going to type this question out for all of our viewers. What type of feeling do you get when you pray with others? And this is something that I want everyone to reflect on, to think about. I want everyone to be able to reflect on this together and bring some sort of benefit to all the other viewers and listeners. So what type of feeling do you get when you pray with other people? What type of feeling do you get when you pray in congregation versus praying alone? There has to be some sort of benefit in praying with other people versus praying by yourself. There has to be an emotional aspect to it, a spiritual aspect to it. There are a lot of different things that take place when you're praying with other people. For me, for example, when I pray with other people, a reality for me is that I'm almost I'm almost accountable. You know, I'm almost accountable that when I pray with other people, I know that we're praying in congregation. So when I see somebody else who's praying alongside of me, or I see kind of like a person's existence next to me, their kind of persona next to me, it almost helps me a little bit more better concentrate on my prayer because we're all in this together. And one of the beauties of this is to understand the reality of the jama'ah prayer, right? Prayer in congregation. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he actually starts off by describing what it means to be a community, because human beings are very social, as we said last class, right? Human beings are creatures of social behavior. We are creatures that really kind of benefit from community and being together as a group of people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands that because he is the one that created us that way. And so he says in the Quran, he says, "Ya ayyuhan nasu." So he's not even talking about the believers, right? Because Allah in the Quran has several different kind of calls that he makes to people or to creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says sometimes, "Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu," those of you who believe, or "Ya ayyuhal kitab," the people of the book. But here in this specific example, Allah is actually calling out all of humanity. He's saying, "Ya ayyuhan nasu," okay? "Ya ayyuhan nasu, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha," that, "Oh people, I have created you in pairs," okay, from a male and a female, that the mere creation of Adam and Hawa, or if you say Adam and Eve, is a proof that human beings are people who benefit from each other's company, okay? That if it was Adam by himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have never created Eve. He would have never created another creation to give Adam alayhi salam company and companionship. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says from the beginning, the get-go, he says, "Ya ayyuhan nasu, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha," that I have created you from man and woman. And then he says, "Waja'alnakum shu'uban wa qaba'ila," and made you into people and tribes, shu'uban wa qaba'ila, that you have been made into different types of people and different tribes. Your skin color may be different than your neighbor. The way that your facial structure is laid out may be different than your cousins. The way that you walk may be different than the person who lives in the country next to you. The way that you talk may be different from the person who lives in the city below you. There are so many different forms of humanity, and that's all for a certain reason. So he says, "Shu'uban wa qaba'ila lita'arafu," so that you may get to know them. So that you may get to know them. "Inna akramakum inda Allahi attaqakum, inna Allaha alimun khabir." That the best of you, of all of those creations, of the man, the woman, the people, the tribes, so you may get to know one another. "Inna akramakum inda Allahi attaqakum, inna Allaha alimun khabir." And the best of those people, the most noble of you in the sight of Allah, is the most righteous upon you. The most righteous amongst you, sorry. Okay? "Inna Allaha alimun khabir." Allah is truly the all-knowing. And khabir means he's aware of everything. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us these examples of what it means to be together as a group of people, right? And there are several spots in the Quran where Allah actually calls us an ummah. He says that you are an ummah. For example, he says, "وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ." That we have created you, we have made you believers in a middle path. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. He uses the word أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, like a middle, straight community. But he uses the word ummah, right? Because you and I and your neighbors, your family, your mother, your father, your siblings, everyone you can think of benefits from being around people. That's what we were made to do. Islam is a religion where you are told to be very personal with God, but also be able to socialize and be a part of a community and be communal for the sake of Allah as well. This is another example that I wanted to kind of share with y'all that a lot of people actually overlook. When you look at Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he teaches us this surah, he teaches us this actually this dua, right? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. And then you say, "Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim." Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. You don't say ihdini. You say ihdinas sirat al-mustaqim, meaning guide us to the straight path. So there's almost this wisdom that a person can almost agree to and understand and appreciate that Allah has given as a part of our religion the sense of community, that we are supposed to be together as people. Surely when you say ihdina, you're saying, oh Allah, guide us. Don't just guide me. Because my dua for myself, yes, it's important and it matters. But what's even better is saying ihdina, guide us together to a straight path. Another example I'll give you guys is the dua that Prophet Ibrahim and he made with his son Ismail. Upon completion of the sacred structure of the Kaaba, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he says, Rabbana taqabbal minna. Okay? He says, Rabbana taqabbal minna. Oh, our Lord, accept this deed from us. It's not just from me, it's from us. And a lot of people, they say, oh, from us, meaning like him and Ismail. But a lot of scholars of tafsir, they actually say that Prophet Ibrahim made that dua upon on behalf of the entire ummah, the community of mankind and the community of believers. That, oh Allah, whatever happens in the structure of the Kaaba, around it when people make tawaf, when people pray behind it, when people pray behind the station of Ibrahim, he says, Rabbana taqabbal minna. Allah, accept from all of us. Oh Allah, accept all of our deeds. So there's this sense of a heightened importance when it comes to community. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over and over again in the Quran reiterates it. So where does this come in line with prayer? Where does it come in line with salah? There was a time in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, may peace and blessings be upon him, he migrated from the city of Mecca to Medina by force, right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I need everyone to actually understand this, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not migrate to Medina out of choice. He didn't want to leave the city of Mecca. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not voluntarily say, oh yes, I want to leave, you know, the city of Mecca because I'm tired of it and I hate it and I want to go to a new place. No. There was actually a narration that says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he left for Medina, he went to the Kaaba and he said, oh structure, right? And he was talking to it. It's almost like when you're talking to an inanimate object, you almost find some solace in it because you know that, like, you know, it can't really return the speech. But at least, you know, it's a creation of Allah, so it understands you. And so he went up to the Kaaba and he said, I would have never left you if I wasn't forced to, right? Or if I wasn't forced to, I would have never left you. And there was this pain that came along with that journey to the city of Medina, even though it was a journey that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam eventually benefited from, because the city of Medina now is known as Madinatul Nabi, or Madinatul Munawwara, the city, the enlightened city, the city of the Prophet. But that journey from Mecca to Medina was almost like the trail of tears. It was sad. You were persecuted for what you believed back at home, and so you had no choice but to pack up your bags and send people to safety. Now, when he arrived in Medina, something very interesting happened. And I want you guys to all think about this, that most people, and I will actually even say 99.9% of people, when they go to a new place, and that new place does not have a home, that new place does not have a house, a structure for you to stay in or live in, the first order of business for a human being upon completion of their travel is to construct a home for themselves, right? Like, this is kind of like the equivalent of, like, I'm not going to move to a city if I haven't, like, I haven't, you know, struck a deal with a house yet. Or if I haven't at least put down a down payment for, like, an apartment, or, like, if I haven't put down, like, a security deposit for a condo, I'm not going to move to a city. That's ridiculous. Why would I do that? Why would I relocate my entire life to go to a place in which I don't have any sort of home in yet? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he arrived in the city of Medina, one of the most profound things that he did, that the scholars of Sirah, the scholars of his biography, actually comment on, is that when he arrived in Medina, he did not build his home first. He did not build his home. Rather, the first thing that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he built was the masjid. It was the masjid. It was the thing that was going to tie the community together. Now, why did he do that? Because number one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a selfless human being. He was not a person who looked out for himself before the needs of other people. That's why he was who he was. But number two, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he understood that there was this necessity of a community space, the necessity of togetherness that was needed. And in fact, if you want to even dig a little bit more detailed and deeper, the Prophet stopped by a city right outside the city of Medina. And when he stopped there, he also established a masjid there as well, right? He also established a masjid there as well before he entered the city of Medina. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he built his own home, on his journey, he built two masjids before it, right? And so one of the most interesting things that we need to understand is that we here from this narration understand that there's an importance to a communal gathering in Islam that actually transcends your own needs, right? That me being able to go see my fellow Muslims is more important than my own comfort. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought. You know, he was like, I'm not going to build my own house first. What I am going to build, though, is this prayer space, where people can go, they can pray together, they can feel like a community together. And then after people feel at home in this city, then I will go and build a home for myself. And this is genuinely what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought like. And so we understand the need of a place like that, right? And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a narration, this is an authentic narration, it is actually said that he, alayhi wasallam, he mentioned that the prayer offered in congregation, and this is kind of more of like a legal ruling slash kind of a legal kind of motivation for us as Muslims. He says that the prayer offered in congregation is 27 degrees more rewardable than a prayer offered by a single human being. He says that a prayer that is offered in congregation is a prayer that is 27 times more rewarded than a prayer that is prayed by itself. And so we know from the get-go that praying together is immediately more rewarded than praying by yourself, okay? Now, what consists of a congregation? The scholars differ upon that. What makes a congregation? The scholars differ on, in terms of their theory on that. But what we can deduce from this very, very short hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he clearly made it apparent that you praying with another person is just better than you praying by yourself. Now, is it bad to pray by yourself? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There will be moments in your life where you will be alone. And this is the reality of life, right? That human beings will not always be there for you. And this is just kind of the nature of mankind, is that we cannot always rely on mankind to be there for us. This is why human beings are fallible. And this is why, by the way, whenever I have, you know, a young person come up to me and they say, oh, you know, I've had this falling out with my friend and I'm not really sure if they're a good friend for me or not and whatnot. And I ask them why. And they say to me, well, you know, they never answer my phone or my text messages or this and that, all that stuff. And I feel like I'm giving too much and they're not giving me enough. And all these different things that they feel. And one of the first things I always tell our young people is that, you know, although, you know, all of us deserve good friends, all of us deserve people in our lives that are good for us, but we also have to learn to lower our standards for human beings, for their capability of satiating what we need sometimes. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. You know, if we text a person at like 11 p.m. at night or 11:30 at night, and we're like, oh my God, that's a friend that I need, right? Yes, it is in the right of the friend who's sending out a message to receive a message back from a person who they call a friend. But it is also a right of the friend who's receiving that message to have, you know, the benefit of the doubt if they're not able to respond right away, right? Like, we're way too harsh on people who are like, not like, oh, that person didn't respond on time. That person didn't get back to me on time. That person didn't answer my phone call that evening. No, 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 no. Be merciful upon people. These are human beings at the end of the day. Human beings will always fall short. Human beings will always fall short. No matter what happens, human beings will always be human beings. And because of this, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's so important for us to create this one-on-one relationship with God. Because when human beings cannot be there for you, Allah will always be there for you. You know, Allah is the only being in our lives, in our world, who, no matter if we're surrounded by people or we're alone, He's always there. And I think that's the beauty of Allah, right? Those of you who are looking for this kind of this relationship with God and why, you know, you should pursue it, I always tell people the number one reason why people should pursue a relationship with God is because human beings are fallible. You know, a lot of us put, like, you know, very, very high standards to, like, human friends. We're like, oh yeah, you know what, like, I want that person to text me at least like 5 times, 6 times a day. We can have a phone call on my way home from work. I want to have like that once a week hangout with this person. I want to be able to spend time with this person. No. Life happens for people, right? Where you will not be able to always spend time with other people. This is where Allah comes in. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says this to us, that the prayer in congregation is 27 times more rewarded than the prayer by yourself. But having said that, there's a reason why it's still an important thing to pray even if it's by yourself. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also mentioned in a narration, he says, a man's prayer said along with another is purer than his prayer said alone. A man's prayer said alongside another person is purer than his prayer that is said alone. And his prayer with two men is purer than his prayer prayed with one. But if there are more, it is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is essentially saying that if a human being prays with another person, his prayer automatically gets elevated in terms of its reward. Now, if there's another person added to that, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that that's even more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the more the merrier, right? And this idea of community, growing a community gradually and slowly is a very beautiful thing. Because if you think about it, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first started preaching the message of Islam, who would be praying at his side? His wife Khadija. And after his wife Khadija, who would be praying at his side? His friend Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And after Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, you know, converted to Islam, who would pray next to him? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Zayd ibn Haritha, right? Uthman ibn Affan. All these different people slowly but surely start to join the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is why it's beautiful for us to kind of grow our community slowly. Now, I always kind of give everybody a very, very important piece of advice, is that we need to make sure that our quality is always better than our quantity. You know, a lot of us in terms of Islam, we struggle with this concept that we always think the more the better, the more the better, the more money the better, the more people the better, the more this the better, the more expensive your place is the better, the bigger your masjid is the better it is. No. We don't believe in that in Islam. We don't believe in, you know, the more money you have, the better you are, or the more popularity they have you, the better you are. We believe in the quality of people. We believe the quality of what you're doing. If your salah is better when you have like 3 people versus having 500 people, then you need to worry about your own salah being better with 3 people, because that's actually what's working for you. But this example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that invite more people to join you, because the more people that there are in your salah, the more beautiful your congregation becomes, because you're actually advising people towards the good. This is the part of Surah Al-Asr where Allah says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. You're almost enjoining the goods. You're enjoining people along with your good deed. Now, what are some of the dangers of neglecting the prayer in congregation? What are some of the dangers of neglecting prayer in congregation? If you have a chance to pray with other people and you just say, no, I'm going to pray later, I'm going to pray by myself, what's the danger in saying something like that? Because there are very much so, there's this truth to people who are like, you know what? Yeah, I see the Jama'ah praying right now, but like, what's the big deal? I'm just going to eat and go pray when I'm at home. Why pass up? Why is it harmful to pass up on a prayer when you see people praying versus praying by yourself? There is a narration from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he said, if 3 men in a village or in the desert make no arrangement for salah in congregation, shaitan must have certainly overcome them. He's saying that if there are 3 people in a village or a desert and they make no effort to make a congregation of salah together, then surely shaitan has overcome them. That's the first thing he says. And then he says, so observe the salah in congregation, for the wolf eats up a solitary sheep that stays far away from the flock. The Prophet had some like beautiful ways of teaching people things, right? The Prophet was like, pray in congregation, or you're gonna get punished. Pray like this, or you're gonna get punished. Pray like that, or you're gonna get punished. The Prophet, he goes, if there are three people and they make no effort to pray in congregation together, then surely Shaitan has infiltrated that group. Because you should establish the prayer together. Because if you don't establish the prayer together, Shaitan picks up the lone sheep, and the lone sheep always gets eaten by the wolf. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's actually in this hadith, he's not just giving us the ruling of praying together or praying in congregation being more important. What he himself is actually saying is that for your own benefit as a human being, to protect yourself against harm, to protect yourself against things that are going to be trying to penetrate your spirituality, almost trying to taking its shots at you as a challenge to your humanity, protect yourself by praying with other people who believe in the same thing that you believe in. Because once you're together, you're strong. Unified, you're strong, and separately, you'll fall. And that's the reality of praying together, is because your community reinforces you. There's actually a narration that says that the brothers in Islam are like pillars that reinforce one another. That when one pillar falls, the other picks it back up. Because the pillars together form this strong structure that allows a house to be standing up. And without those pillars, the house will crumble down. A house cannot be kept up by one pillar. It's impossible. It may be kept up by one pillar for a certain period of time, but that house will collapse anytime rain comes down, high winds come down, a storm hits. That pillar will inevitably be crushed because of the weight of the storm. So how do you protect yourself from the storm of evil and from the storm of hardships and difficulties thrown your way? You start to gather together as people. Now, this is why congregations are so important. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that the wolf eats up the solitary sheep that stays away from the flock. Because when you're alone, that's the time where Shaitan almost gets to you. He's like, oh, you know what? Like, it's okay. You can pass up on Isha prayer tonight. You had a really long day. Or it's okay. You can look at that thing if you really need to. You're just a human being. Human beings have flaws. And you almost make it sound really good to you. But then when your friend steps in and your friend says, no, we should pray tonight before we go to bed. Then that's what, okay, even if you're struggling with that moment of weakness, your friend's presence reinforces that strength that you have in Allah. And that's something that's really beautiful. Because if you're alone, you may have actually been susceptible to being harmed at that moment. But because you're surrounded yourself with people that are good for you, that's when your friend or the person in your family or a part of your community reinforces that strength that you had within you to begin with. We just need that reinforcement. This is why I always say community is reinforcement. Community does not build strength, it reinforces strength. Because to say that community builds strength means that you are weak. That you're a person who doesn't have strength to begin with. I don't believe in that. I as a Muslim, believe that each and every single one of you guys has strength embedded within you. Each one of you guys. Each one of us, mashallah, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen us to be human beings. Right? لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَخْوِيمِ There is no better creation than that of mankind. You are automatically given strength that Allah has not given any other creation that He has ever created. So you are born with strength. You have strength within you. Strength is a part of you. But sometimes that strength gets lost. Sometimes that strength gets lost. Sometimes because of the challenges that a human being endures, that strength gets lost in the pile. And so where do you find that strength? With other people. Ummatan wasatan. Right? Go be with the people that have like faith such as yourself. And know that you and each other are supposed to pick each other up during times of weakness. That is what makes Islam special. That's what makes congregation special, right? And so now we'll end with this short kind of couple of tips that I wanted to share with everybody, right? So what do you do if you are in a situation where you may be able to pray sometimes in congregation, but sometimes you won't be able to pray in congregation? So the first thing I always say, there's the first thing before we do anything, the first tip of how to begin this journey of praying together with other people is start praying with your family. Start praying with your family. You know, my wife and I, even though we have schedules and different schedules and moments where I'm free and she's busy and I'm busy and she's free, one of the things that we always tell ourselves is let's pray at least one prayer together in the day. let's pray at least one prayer together in the day, whether that be, you know, Dhuhr, or it may be Maghrib, or it may be Isha before we go to sleep. Let's pray one prayer together before we hit the bed. And that will beautify your day a lot, because you know that you pray together in the day at least once. And your family is something that is supposed to be leagues ahead of any other relationship you have in your life, right? Your mother, your father, your siblings, your son and your daughter, if you're parents. Like, these are people that are like your ride or dies, right? And so these are the people that we should be making an effort to pray with at least once a day, right? If we have a home that isn't prayed in together by people that live in it, then that home suffers, right? We believe in barakah. Remember, we talked about this before, that we in Islam believe in this idea of barakah, that Allah puts blessings in things in life. And one of the ways to really bless your home is to pray in it. Right, one of the things that you do to bless your home is to pray in it, to kind of, you know, invite the angels in and keep the evil out, is to be one that consistently prays in that place. And what more beautiful can you do than pray together in a place, right? Community makes things stronger, and what better community can you have other than your own family? Number two is build up khushu' in your prayers that you pray alone. Build up your khushu' in your prayers that you pray alone. Sometimes when we pray with other people, we almost get caught up in the charisma of praying with everybody, right? And I'll give you a prime example of this. Ramadan is like big time when it comes to this, right? When people are praying during the month of Ramadan, you're praying next to this, you know, guy who is really passionate in his prayer. You're praying next to the sister in his sister's side, and she's really into her prayer. You may almost forget about like your own personal prayer. And you're like, wow, this is amazing. So you just kind of go with the tide, right? You ride the wave, as they say. But you know what takes a hit after that congregational prayer is over? Because at some point in your life, you will have to pray alone. And what happens when you pray alone? We don't know what to do. How am I supposed to feel? What am I even supposed to say? How am I supposed to feel when I say it? So one of the things to do when you pray alone, and people will have these moments in life where they're going to have to pray alone, one of the things that we do is we learn to master our khushu' when we pray alone. You know, our teachers always taught us a very important principle. Islam is all about being able to be alone in a crowd. Islam is about being able to be alone in a crowd. That when you're in a crowd, you're not supposed to get lost. You're not supposed to get lost in a crowd in Islam. Even when you pray in jama'ah, it's as though you are praying one-on-one with Allah, but you're just getting the reward of praying next to somebody who's also praying with you. Your goal is to be able to have the same khushu' as you would if you were alone in a congregation. So work on your khushu' when you're praying by yourself. This is a very, very important principle in Islam. And number three is find good friends. Find good friends. If we have any young Muslims listening to this session today, the one thing that I will say, sometimes, you know, we as young, and I've been there before in my life, and I've been there and done that, and I've been struggling in a lot of different ways in my life as a young Muslim living in America as well. One of the things that I will say now as a 27-year-old and as a person who's kind of built up some experience as a young Muslim, and now I have the ability and the right to actually teach younger Muslims, is don't shy away from being that one friend who reminds people about prayer. You know, when you're young, there are so many moments in your life where you feel like, oh, I can't say this because like I'm going to be looked at as like the weird dude, right? Like, oh, what am I? Like some like, mashallah, Sheikh, you know, Muhammad ibn Rashid al-Afasi, like who am I, right? Like, what am I? Hamza Yusuf, Yasir Qadhi, like I'm not going to like randomly just be like, hey guys, I know it's like 5 o'clock and we're like in the middle of this ball game, but like, I don't like, we should pray Asr, you know, like I don't want to be that guy. You know, when you're a person who breaks the norm and says, you know what, guys, even though we're like watching this movie or playing this game or being a part of like the social gathering, it's such a beauty for the person who steps up and says, hey, should we pray before we continue? Like, should we pray before we play that next game? Should we pray before we watch like the fourth quarter? Should we pray before we all leave to go out and grab like food? There's beauty in that. Because when you're young, you almost like, oh, I don't want to do it, right? Anything out of the norm is weird, right? I don't want to be that one guy who like says, oh, we should pray because like everyone's gonna be like, all right, that's religious dude right there, mashallah, right? Sheikh al-Islam, Hafid al-Islam, right? Like, no, like, I know when you're young, it kind of sucks sometimes because you're like, I don't want to be that guy. But trust me, there are roles in life sometimes that may not be appreciated at the present, but will be ridiculously appreciated in the future. Amazingly appreciated in the future. You know, and I'll give you guys an example of that. When you're younger, when your parents go and tell you to clean your room, you hate it. When your parents tell you to clean your room when you're younger, you hate it. You're like, Mom, please, give it a break, right? Like, I'll be okay. I can still breathe in here somehow. It's a miracle because there's a lot of CO2 going around, but I'm still alive here, right? And you don't want to clean your room. You're like, I'm fine here, man. Like, why? Like, you always think to yourself, like, why does my parents' room have to look like it? There's always guests coming over every 5-minute interval of the day. But you know, when you get older and you have your own home, you start to actually really implement those rules in your own house. All of a sudden, you're like 25 years old and you have your own house and you're like putting your toothbrush away, like exactly where you're like stacking it, putting it away exactly where it's supposed to be. You see kind of like a spick of like dirt on your or like oil or whatever on your countertop in your kitchen, and you immediately get the washer right and you're like cleaning it up. Man, when you were like 15, that to you would be like a nightmare. Like, why would I ever do that, right? But when you're older, you start to appreciate it. And then subhanAllah, you think back and you're like, man, Mom was right, right? Mom was right. To keep a clean home, you have to do this once in a while. So the same thing works with people who are afraid of speaking out when it comes to being like the overly religious person in the group of people, right? Oh, I don't want to like remind everybody about prayer. It's weird. They're going to think I'm just like this weird religious guy, and I don't want to be that person. But trust me, in like 5 years, 6 years, even 7 years, when everyone's kind of looking for like that relationship with Allah finally, after they've gone through like those stupid days when you're like 15, 14, you're like, all you care about is your friends and, you know, you're this and that, and I can't miss that game and I could watch this movie. When all that is said and done, and when people are by themselves and they're sitting in their room and, you know, life has inevitably fallen short, everyone looks for that connection with the divine. Everybody looks for that connection with Allah. And then when everyone's thinking about that connection with Allah, they're going to be thinking about that one friend. Remember how like Bilal used to always tell us that we should pray before we go do this? Or remember how like Asiya or like Aisha used to tell us that we should probably like pray really quickly before we go out for brunch? You remember that? I really, really miss that. I really miss that. So don't think that if you are the person who reminds your friends about prayer, that you're like the odd man out. And I'll tell you one last thing, is that when all of our memories are said and done with our friends, you know, when it comes to like hanging out and spending time together and watching games and going out for brunch and getting coffee and going to the park and playing this and doing that, when all those memories are done, the thing that will remain the tie that holds the relationship together is iman. And I will personally attest to this, that I have had, alhamdulillah, Allah has put a lot of beautiful people in my life, alhamdulillah, so far. Allah has put a lot of beautiful human beings in my life and to teach me, to guide me, to mentor me, to make me a better person. But the people that I truly, truly cherish in my life are the people that I've had spiritual experiences with. You know, people that I've prayed with, people that I have done things in the community with, people that I have gone to Umrah with, people who I have shed tears with during Ramadan. Those are the people that, like, no matter what, I'll just kind of reach out to them and say, like, oh man, how's it going? I miss you, man. You know, those are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kind of keeps people together with. So ask yourself, right? Who do I pray with? Who do I share my spiritual experiences with? Who do I truly, truly connect with deeper than just the mundane things I do in my life? Not saying that friends that you do mundane things with are not valuable. You know, people have value in very different ways in life, right? But when we ask ourselves, what type of friend am I and what type of groups do I spend time with? Ask ourselves, do we have experiences and memories that go beyond this dunya, right? Do they go beyond brunch? Do they go beyond hanging out at the game? Does it go beyond hanging out at this restaurant or that place? Or, you know, did I ever have a spiritual experience with that person? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be people who not only understand the importance of salah, but understand the importance of salah in congregation and understand the importance of salah as a group. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be a group of people who learn from the people around us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be people who truly benefit from our surroundings and people benefit from us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to connect with the idea of salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to reap the fruits and benefits of salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to, when we meet him on the day of judgment and he asks us about our prayers, we tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we did as best as we could and we tried as hard as we could. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please accept this from us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be people who view prayer as a form of a gift and a blessing rather than a burden and a task. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us a group of people who truly fall in love with the gift of salah. And we truly, truly understand that this salah is something that has been given to us through the traditions of the prophets and to us for our own benefit, that we may present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a book that weighs heavy on our scale of deeds on the day of judgment. Amin ya rabbal alamin. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilaik. Wa jazakumullahu khairan, everybody, for joining us this month for our prayer series. Inshallah, next month, starting in November, the first Monday of November, we're actually going to be starting our charity series. So I call it the charity series because zakat is obviously more of kind of like there's a beauty in zakat, but sometimes it kind of gets away from the reflective kind of points of view. So inshallah, we're going to call it the series of charity. So inshallah, join us next Monday as we start the charity series, the giving series, I'd like to call it, on Monday. Inshallah, that will go Mondays and Wednesdays through the month of November. And may Allah allow us to continue the series. If anybody, so we will be saving the series live on the IGTV tab on the Roots account here on Instagram. And also, if you want to take a listen to it on your way to work or on your way to the store or on your way to your gym, workout, wherever you're going, this entire series, starting from the Shahada series now with the prayer series, is uploaded on the Qalam podcast that you can find on Apple iTunes or Spotify. There, you know, all the series episodes should be updated within the next week. If you have missed any of the episodes, then you can easily go back to the Qalam podcast, search up the 5 series, and you can even search up my name and you'll find it, inshallah, there, so we can all reflect together, even in our cars, walking down the street, whatever we're doing. And inshallah, this is something that goes rewarded and something that is beneficial to multiple people and as a form of sadaqah jariyah going forward. Jazakallah khairan, guys. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate everybody here at Roots. And we always, always make dua for you guys. And we ask you guys to make dua for me and my family and our teachers here at Roots. And inshallah, jazakallah khairan, everybody, for the kind words, and make dua for us. And we'll see you guys on Monday again for the next episode of the series. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.